You about 77 playing this?
Stay through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream.
How'd you feel this morning when you woke up and wanted to hear that song? You was about 72 and a half?
Nah, actually, I started off the show with that song because I want to dedicate this episode of Shooting the Shit to the late, great Joe Hunt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big Joe.
Rest in peace to a good brother, good friend of ours. But I know he would have liked this song. So I just wanted to start off the show like that. Take a quick moment of silence for Joe Hunt.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Shout out to the homie Joe Hunt. Joe Hunt, great guy. Looked out a lot for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Uptown legend. Joe's for Harlem for the Bronx. What was Joe from?
Joe from the Bronx.
Joe's from the Bronx. Yeah, Joe was outside, but Joe was a great person, man. I think his son, his name is Sean as well.
Yeah, he got a son named Sean and his other son is Barry.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Joe, man. He just passed away recently, man. A good friend of ours, good friend to the show. You know, great older guy, somebody to talk to. You know, talk to you about his life and his lessons, somebody to you know, just kind of help you guide yourself through life, man.
You always get a word of wisdom from Joe.
And Joe was always with us to always shoot the shit.
He definitely was, man. When I seen that picture, I was going through the archives and the picture I posted of me, you and Joe. Joe ass would always try to run with us, but his ass would fall asleep and not all. But he was always trying to run with the young boys. But you know, just a good brother. I'm definitely gonna miss Joe. But you know, he's in a better place right now. So
yeah, definitely condolences to his family, man. I didn't know Joe the way y'all did, obviously. But I hung around him for 2 days as we was filming some stuff out in Brooklyn and Queens, mm-hmm. man. And funny dude, man. Hilarious, had me cracking up the whole time. And we actually should have had some Arby's tonight, Trip. Because remember that last time we was hanging out with him.
Y'all had the Arby's? Y'all had no roast beef.
The funny story, man. So the first night we were out filming in Brooklyn, we went to go check Justin Biggs as he was training for his fight. And I'm not going to put this man name out there because he don't need to be getting no clout off the show. But there was a certain individual that we used to affiliate ourselves with that wanted to get in the ring and spar with Justin Biggs. I was already laughing and Joe kind of pulled me to the side like, I know he don't think he about to get in that ring. Just like that. It's like, hey, he about to get his ass whipped right here. And then the next day, we went and did an interview with Haran. And the whole time Joe was like, you know, Anthony, you got to take me get something to eat, man. Arby's been on my mind all day. we like, yo, Joe, ain't no Arby's out here, man. Like, you bug it. And we just so happened to be in Long Island City. And as we went back to the car, we were leaving the gym from speaking with Haran. As we go back to the car, we turn around and somehow we must not have noticed it when we pulled up to the venue. There was an Arby's. We were literally next to the Arby's parking lot. Yeah. And he's like, it's fate. It's fate.
That's the universe. That's the universe, bro.
Yeah.
That's the universe, man. So
definitely, you know, thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to Joe's family, man.
To be able to even spend moments with certain people, like, before they pass away, to have, like, a good memory to laugh about, man, is a blessing in itself. Because everybody don't have those type of moments with certain people, man. So, you know, when we get these people in our lives, man, they affect us in positive ways, even though it is small in pockets. You know, it's cool.
Thanks. You know, Joe's cool with my family and everything. My whole family was hurt, you know what I'm saying, by the news. So... But you know what? Shout out to Joe Hunt. Rest in peace, man.
I want to say this too, and I'm glad you said that, Sean. That's true, because you know, you never know when your path might cross with somebody, man. Just being around Joe them 2 days, he was hilarious. Aunt noticed too, man. We was that first day we get in the car with Joe, and we riding down Second Avenue, and Joe start flirting with a shorty in the car next to us. In traffic, he start flirting with shorty. Remember Trip?
Yes.
Yo, why homie jumped out the car on Second Avenue to get shorty number at the red light? Yo, man, like, yo, Joe, you out of pocket right now. He's like, well, shit, she showing me something over there. I'm trying to see what she showed, what she got to show. He straight at the red light hopped out, got shorty's number, got back in the car. We laughed the whole way to Brooklyn, man.
That's funny that you said that Joe was out of pocket, because he actually did a movie called Outside Pocket. that he wrote, oh, man. Damn, so many funny
dude,
stories.
Man. Yeah, man. Creative, man. We got a lot of creatives around us a lot of times, man. Today, I ran into a creative today. I ran into a guy. He was my Uber driver. He had a whole portfolio in his backseat of his book. Brazilian guy, real cool and shit. I was like, you know, potentially if I can help you out, get you some type of installation or something, that's cool, man. Because like I said, we're around a lot of fucking artists, man. So rest in peace to Joe Hunt. We appreciate you, man. We appreciate you to just, you know, being part of our universe and allowing us to be a part of your universe. You know, your ancestor, now you've transitioned. So we just hope that you just look over us.
Word.
In all our endeavors, watch over our family as you watch over yours. You know, everybody, everything is love, man. We appreciate you. Fellas, how we doing today? Shooting the shit.
Shooting the shit.
Shooting the motherfucking shit, man. I'm happy we getting together, man. You know, I know y'all doing well up there. I'm doing well down here, man. I always enjoy these Wednesday nights, man.
Absolutely.
Listen.
Needed this energy.
Yeah. I always say this and therapy is always like my greater parts of the week.
What is this therapy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, I told some kids today, I introduced them to Basquiat. They didn't know about Basquiat. A lot of, you know, as time progresses, we're the older people now, right?
Yeah.
So potentially talking about somebody like as Basquiat from the 80s, that's an old person to them. So I like to, you know, introduce, you know, new modern ways of teaching them to do, you know, stuff in the same ways. Like, I don't got to teach you about Van Gogh, but maybe we teach you about Basquiat. But yeah, man, we got a lot of creatives around us. I want to talk about my day. But fellas, how is your day? How was your day?
I mean, I'm good. I'm excited, man. You know, we're moving and grooving, baby. We got a lot going on. You know, family healthy. We get into that time of season. This is like my favorite season right here. You know what I'm saying? This fall, winter transition. Yeah. Thanksgiving right around the corner. Christmas.
Some people have like seasonal depression though around this time though. How's it for you though? So what makes you, you know, excited and motivated to be, you know, moving and grooving
family,
around this
bro.
Time?
Family. I'm always big on family. So, you know, this time of year, I mean, I love to eat too. So Thanksgiving always, you know, it's always a upbeat time of year for me.
Can we get some coquito?
Facts.
Say that again.
Can we get some coquito?
Oh, well, we gonna get that. Yeah, cause my grandmother's back from Puerto Rico. I'm about to go check her in a few weeks, and she got some pateles on deck that she gonna set up for me. But yeah, I'm big on family, man. So I always enjoy this time of year being around family, being around good people, good friends. So that's you know where my happiness comes from. But you're right. There's a lot of people that this is a tough time of year, and I always got them in my thoughts and prayers because it can be very lonely if you're going through something and then seeing all these other people that are very festive and happy as you're trying to deal with your own things.
Yeah, no, absolutely, bro. Yeah, man, listen, man, we've been having fun. Actually, you know, I want to shout out your fam, Eric. I want to shout out Sasha and also my homegirl Carolina. They hooked us up for the Real Fizz Real Talk Halloween episode. They hooked up some
oh, I saw you. Y'all was lit.
Special effects makeup for us. So I want to shout them out as well. It's been a fun week, man. I've been working, man. Just doing a whole lot of editing, trying to get this.
You been selling your porn tapes out the back of your truck?
I don't sell my porn tapes at the back of the truck anymore, Sean. Okay.
You on your no limit shit?
Exactly. Okay. I sold about a good 10,000 out the truck though.
He was selling okay. He was selling dick tapes.
And, I keep telling like, you, so I put no my business out there.
Company behind me,
right?
On this,
right? I do my own thing, baby. You see the lights in here?
I move you off the phone. What's up?
Nah, I'm playing. You see, I got that 13, that cinema camera, boy.
You heard? Yo, they be gassing. Y'all don't be thinking iPhone be gassing a little bit? Because the thing is, so if you're a technology guy, you know that you can do all this stuff on your phone, but the average person doesn't know how to do all this shit on their phone, bro. They be gassing it.
No, they do. I mean, you got to sell records, right? You gotta sell. That's what they doing out here.
I heard you.
And you know, like, I'm gonna keep it real. I'm gonna buy it. I don't like. I'm getting ready to get a new laptop.
You gonna buy the same box every time?
I don't know where you're going with that.
He's setting you up.
Exactly.
That's why I'm
gonna
stop.
Cause this is shooting the shit.
I was about to say, did you even open that bottle yet? You throwing out jabs early. Look,
blue bottles, baby. Yo, this homecoming weekend, man. I gotta stand up because you know I had this bottle in my bag all day. Word. So you know,
Sean will definitely spill that shit all over the fucking microphones in here.
I will. I ain't gonna lie. And I'm going to buy another bottle of champagne. That's what the fuck we do. We spill champagne and buy some more. I don't want to sound like I'm popping shit, goodness. But like I'm a frugal person too. Let me throw that out there. But anyway, so you know the blue bottle of champagne, sometimes you go places, it costs too much. I was out in Jersey today, and it just so happened it was a good price. And I said, let me buy it. It's been in my bag since about 11:45. I think it's a little bit. Let me know.
Sean getting money now.
I'm poor.
You out here buying blue bottles. Whoa,
it was on sale. Relax yourself, my brother. Relax yourself. Let your conscience be free.
Professor Fontaine getting money now.
Listen. But you know what? But you know what's so crazy even about that? To be a person of, to have, I guess, some type of title within your communities, people like that, man. Yeah. We like to see our own people.
Absolutely. I was literally considering, and I might still do this at some point, but I was literally considering going back to school to get my doctorate just so I could have people call me Dr. Jones.
It was going to happen.
I know.
I shook it up.
Eric, look at him, son. He can't help it. He can't help himself.
It was bound to happen.
Oh, I shook it up. What you want me to do?
That bottle been uptown, downtown, in town, and out of town.
Yeah.
Yo, this bottle been in Newark, New Jersey. Orange, New Jersey, all over 34th Street, uptown. Now we on by the 6th. We ain't gonna say no exact locations. I'm fucking up.
Every angle, bro. This is what happens when you get the blue stuff.
He a blue bottle boy now. He a blue bottle boy. He don't know how to act, man.
Facts. Yeah. You could at least got the sophisticated Mons cup, so we could have blue cups with the.
Yeah, we got to get some more merch, man. we got to get some sophisticated Minds merch. We need to get the shooting the shit merch.
We need to get that going, man. We need to maybe let's put our minds together and see if we can get something for the holidays for the people.
Yeah, man. Like, listen, guys, feel free. If you want some shirts, we can get some shirts for you popping. We got some good ideas. You know, we're creative or whatever, so on and so forth. Can we get into some shit? I think it's time.
Let's get into some shit, yeah.
I think it's time, man. What we got going on? Oh, shit. The iPad acting up. Let me look at my phone.
Where you want to start? You want to start?
Can we start with your man, Ben Simmons? Your man, Ben Simmons?
Oh, man. We starting with Ben.
I want to get to Ben before it gets too old. Because that story is a happening story and it's going on. But I don't want it to pass too much because I feel like everybody's going to get exacerbated and going to get upset with the story and they don't want to talk about it anymore. So, yes, Ben Simmons says he's not mentally prepared. I don't know if it's coincidental. What do you guys think? I talk all day, man, so I be in zone and shit. Yo, man, it's shooting the shit, man.
All right, so here's my thing. I would like to believe that you wouldn't joke around with your mental health and, you know, lying and, you know, playing games with that because that's serious business. You know, big shout out to Coach D. I just had her on. She's going to be actually on tomorrow's show, and we went through a lot of mental health stuff, mental wealth stuff. And she's been on Real Fish Real Talk with us several times. So it's not no joke. You know what I mean? So I would hope that this is, you know, if he's saying that, that's really what the situation is. But I will say that it is convenient with everything that's going on right now to kind of go with the mental health approach. Just because, you know, obviously he's been kicked out of practice a couple of times. The back and forth, he wants to get out of Philadelphia, which could all, you know, be things that could really, you know, mess with your mental health, which is why I would like to believe that you wouldn't play around with that. So I'm going to just give him the benefit of the doubt right now.
Because what can you really do?
Yeah, exactly, because I can't assess what your mental health is unless I actually have some type of conversation with you.
So in no way, shape, or form do I want this to sound like I'm making light of mental health, because that is a serious issue and a serious conversation. But when it comes to Ben Simmons, I think I'm calling bullshit on it. And here's why. Mental health, right, and dealing with mental health and then being mentally prepared to perform at your job are two completely different things, I think, in my opinion. Now, shout out to Coach D. Coach D is much more knowledgeable than I am, and I respect her thoughts and opinions on this topic. But all of us have been in a situation where we had to deal with something at work and be like, yo, mentally, I just don't want to go there, right? Yeah. That does not mean you're dealing with mental health issues. You just don't want to fuck with that particular scenario that's within your life.
Yeah.
So when Ben Simmons says, I'm not mentally ready to play, that's how I take it. I take it as him saying, I really don't want to be here. I don't really fuck with y'all like that. So therefore, mentally, I've kind of checked out and I got to get myself back in the groove of playing.
Yeah.
That's completely different than mental health. And the reason I highlighted those two things is if he's dealing with real mental health issues, shout out to other players who have talked about it, specifically Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan. Those gentlemen who spoke about it went and got with a doctor to help them through their issues,
yeah,
to figure out what's causing the mental health issues there. If Ben Simmons is going to say mentally, I'm not prepared to play, but then doesn't get with a doctor, to me, I don't categorize that as mental health. That's just you not really want to be there. So now you're trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with the situation. So that's the way I look at it.
And that's why I don't want to take it at, you know, because it's not
right. Game. Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm not downplaying, you know, mental health. I'm just saying I don't think that's where he's at with it. I think he just don't want to be there. And so to him, it's like, I really don't want to be here. Y'all going to have to give me some time to prepare for this season.
Yeah, because it's real easy to, like I said, it sounds somewhat coincidental. But then again, it's like you can't tell somebody that you're not fucked up mentally, because you can be fucked up mentally. And that's the whack part about it. And that's just, you know, that's kind of one of the, I don't want to say trendy things, but that's kind of where we're at with a lot of things with people.
It is. And it's unfortunate because it's just like when we were kids, right? We knew that there were certain things we could say to our parents to get to stay home from school.
Yeah.
Right? Now, your parent may not have always believed that you had a headache or that your stomach was bothering you, or, you know what I'm saying, that you had any type of aches and pains. But at the same time, they had to give you the benefit of the doubt, because the last thing they want is you in school now, you throwing up all over the place and shitting everywhere.
Yeah, bless you.
Right?
Bless you.
Because to your parent, I'd rather you just stay home than me have to leave work early to go pick you up now.
Exactly.
I don't know. My mother, right? I went to school all every day. I had perfect
attendance.
If I had bad grades, like I had perfect attendance.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, but that's how I look at this situation, right? There are people who are dealing with real mental health issues. I don't want to make light of that. I don't want to play around with that. You know what I'm saying? Don't fuck around with that, bro.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be there, just be like, yo, I'm going to need a little time to get myself together.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pin it on that, because there are people who are dealing with real mental health situations who are looking for help, who need help, who are trying to deal with their issues. And here goes somebody who probably wasn't even training when he was away from the team. He probably not even in game shape, really. So he just buying himself 2 weeks to get ready for the season now.
And that's why I'm like, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt, because I would really hope that you wouldn't play around when you know there are many, 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 many people in this world
have that problem
dealing with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to try to use that as an excuse, you know what I mean? Just to get out of whatever the situation is, that I have an issue with. You know what I mean? Because... And I get it. That's why. And the reason I want to give him the benefit of the doubt is because, you know, and I don't not to, you know, he's young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? and he could be really emotional. And you know, you're dealing with, and I'm just gonna go back, you know, just a little bit of a timeline. All of, you know, the trade talks and whatnot, you know, you get comfortable in the place, and then the team talks about trading you, and you know, you could feel unwanted. Then you go through the season, whatever, get to the playoffs, you play horribly in that second round of the playoffs, and you know, for the most part, you know, I got to put the blame on Ben Simmons, the reason why they lost that series, right?
So that's Yo, Embiid ain't fucking with him.
That's a lot on you, right? And you probably already kicking your ass about that. Then you get to the press conference, and you know, Doc kind of, you know, you know how to mince your words and makes, you know, dress things up, you know, especially from Doc. I'm not so much Joel Embiid, just because he's kind of young and he's raw too. So you know, maybe he just. It's like that, but Doc Rivers knows how to speak, you know, to the press to not kind of throw somebody under the bus or not shit on somebody, and he didn't do that in that situation. So now I got a further issue with you, and then now going into the season, all of this talk, I want to get out of here. Y'all not trying to trade me right now. I haven't been traded away from Philly. I want to start over. So it is a lot.
Yo, he gonna go somewhere and start balling. You know that, right?
I think he is.
He gonna do some too. D'Angelo. He gonna do some D'Angelo. What's his name? D'Angelo Russell shit. He gonna do some D'Angelo Russell shit. No.
Nah, I just think that we talked about it before, bro. Sometimes physically, you're just gifted in a way that makes you good at a particular sport or a physical activity. True. I don't to play at the NFL level. Takes or NBA level or Major League Baseball level, any high level, it takes a certain mentality to do it. And I just don't think he has that. And the reason I, you know, like you said, Joel don't really fuck with him. I understand why Joel don't fuck with him, because realistically, before this situation came to light with Ben Simmons, for 5 straight years, all we kept hearing about was Joel Embiid. People would criticize Joel Embiid. Oh, he got to get in shape. Oh, he got to take the game more serious. Oh, he got to expand his game. Oh, he got to dominate more. Every year, Joel Embiid kept adding to his game to get to that level, to the point where now he was number two in MVP voting.
Yep.
So from Joel's standpoint, it's like, yo, y'all put that pressure on me. When I was crying after we lost the playoff game, I was the mean. Y'all was criticizing me. I needed to do more, right? Yeah. So I've been doing more. So now it's his turn to do more. Because guess what? Joel Embiid wasn't the number one pick. Joel Embiid, you know what I'm saying? When Ben Simmons got drafted number one, he was viewed as like, this is why you do the process. So you get a Ben Simmons type. Yeah. So you get a guy like him to go with Joel Embiid.
Well, Embiid would have been the number one pick, though, if he didn't get
if he wasn't, guys, right. But the facts are the facts, though.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons was the number one pick. And there's pressure that comes with being the number one pick. And I just think that Ben Simmons mentally, you know, when you a young athlete and he never really had success because he didn't win in college.
No.
He didn't even make the tournament in college. You know, when he came over from Australia and played high school ball, he was on a travel team. So he didn't go through like the grind of like being on your average high school team. He was already playing with other all-star like caliber players, you know, 4 and 5 star recruits. So I don't think mentally he's built for the criticism that comes with that position he's in. He just want to go hoop. He just want to do his thing. He want to live life and enjoy what comes with the celebrity of being a basketball player.
So you're saying this generation is soft?
I think soft is a strong term to use.
If you skip Bayless if you skip Bayless, that's some shit he would say, right?
SOF capital T.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that he's not built like that, bro. Everybody isn't built that way. No. Some guys just love the fact that they can just go hoop, and when they get off the court, their day is done. And then other guys is like, yo, I got off the court, and now I'm going to go work out for 3 hours. Yeah. Like Andrew Wiggins. Was a child prodigy and the number one pick. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins ain't got that type of drive to be great, though.
Mm-hmm. But he got the drive to stay around and to still understand the systems, to be in these systems, because
yeah.
I think that's a huge part of it. If you play sports...
And he was an all-star.
If you play sports, you have to understand these are systems. So this is even a lesson for me, because I had to understand that I was athletic, but you have to kind of even fall into place to some extent in some of these systems. Like, with somebody like Ben Simmons, to where, like you said, he came in, he was playing with all these fucking phenoms, these guys. Like, he doesn't understand the struggle. He doesn't understand how it feels to be like playing on bad teams. He doesn't understand how, you know, it's a lot of shit you got to deal with when you playing sports. Maybe coming up, even when you're the good player on that team, and maybe somebody says, hey, you want to go play for somebody else, that's a different feeling. And that's something that you get very early on. You don't just get that stuff when you're in the league. You get this shit early on, because a lot of these sports and this stuff, it happens early on.
Right. The mindset that you develop to want to prove people wrong. Like, we joke, the Jordan meme, I took that personally, mm-hmm. right? That comes from years and years of being slighted, bro.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron ain't the killer that he is now just because everybody kept patting him on the back.
Yeah.
It came from people still doubting him when he was younger. People who felt like, ah, he ain't that good. Ah, y'all hyping him. Ah, he can't shoot the basketball, though. Oh, he can't do that. So now on the flip side of that, his son Bronny's going to have it tougher because everybody's going to anoint Bronny just because of his name.
Yeah.
Bronny ain't got to live through what LeBron lived through. Bronny ain't got to worry about where his next hot meal was coming from or whose couch he had to sleep on.
Yeah.
He ain't got to do none of that because, you know, his path is simpler.
Yeah.
That's my point with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, he didn't have that struggle that we always talk about. But then when he did come to America, it was already like, yo, you're on an AAU team that's one of the best in the country.
Mm.
You ain't got to worry about your spot, bro.
Yeah.
You ain't got to worry about somebody telling you, yo, you're not really good enough to play with us. It's like, no, here's this kid. He's on the team. Don't worry about it. When he went to LSU, the same thing. He went to LSU. He didn't elevate them anywhere, but it was still treated like, oh, but he's still the best player. He's going number one.
Yeah.
He went to Philly. They already had Embiid. So it was like, yeah, he's number one, but he ain't got to carry us. Embiid carrying us.
Well, so all right. So here's the thing, right? I mean, he's 6'10" anyway, so he's gonna get that shot anyway. But when he does, and I think he will get traded. When he does get traded, you know, I don't think he's going to regress. Like at a minimum, I think he's still gonna be an all-star caliber player. I don't know if he'll ever get to that elite upper echelon All-NBA status. But I think he'll still continue because. It's not like he's not going to do the things that he was doing before. Now, will he ever develop a jump shot or will he be, I don't know. But, I mean, he was
you know already he died.
He going to retire soon, bro.
But he was averaging, averaging 18 and 9 or 8 and 9.
I know we got a lot of topics to get into. Me and Tripp had the same conversation 4 years ago when I argued that he should not have won Rookie of the Year over Donovan Mitchell because it was unfair. Because technically he was in his second year in the NBA,
yeah.
But because he sat out his whole first year, they treated him like a rookie.
Yeah.
So I've never been a big fan of Ben Simmons from that aspect of it. I don't think he's ever going to change, but I do wish him the best if he is dealing with true mental health issues.
Say that then. How be feeling right now? We got some Shan Pipple.
Yeah. Sipping. Blue is high. It's all right.
So if you're on set right now and you heard that the star killed somebody with a prop gun, what you thinking?
That's fake news.
That's what Alec Baldwin did.
But it's real because it happened.
It happened. That also happened to Bruce Lee's son, I think, on the set of The Crow.
Yeah, Brandon.
That did, yeah.
I don't know whoever's responsible for that prop gun. You know, like, I don't know.
How's that even a thing? How's that even able to happen? Like, I feel like you got to do some research on that shit because, like, it shouldn't. I don't know, man.
Because, like, I've never had a prop gun on a set before or been on a set where there was a prop gun. So I can't really speak on it. But,
Shout out to the movie, though. You gotta shout out to your movie, though, too. You got to plug it real quick.
Which movie?
The one I was the gangster.
Wow.
I'm not playing a gangster no more, by the way, also.
Wow, I'm a very so Hollywood.
Right?
He said, which Hollywood. One?
Which film
are you speaking
of?
Are you
talking about Retribution?
Yeah, Retribution.
We're working on it right now, getting that editing done.
I got to let people know I brush my teeth growing up. I'm a Colgate kid. They got to see my face. But yeah, your film.
I haven't been on a set with a prop gun though, but just from a safety standpoint, you know, whoever is the person that's in charge of that gun, you know, why is the safety not being checked? Like, was everything checked prior to him having the gun? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of questions that I would have to need answers for because people, you know, lost their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dropped the ball. because whoever is in charge, like Tripp said, was supposed to check the clip. You're supposed to make sure there's blanks in there. And two, you're supposed to empty out the chamber.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, if there was live rounds originally in there and then you go to put the blanks in the clip, you got to still check the chamber to make sure there's not a live one in there. So they completely dropped the ball on that.
Why do you even have live rounds and a prop gun on the set, though?
You could use a real gun with blanks.
Yeah.
You can use a real gun, and then when you put the clip in, you put the clip in that has blanks. But the problem some people don't realize is you still got to empty out the chamber. Yeah. You got a live one in there, because the moment you put the clip in and cock it back, you got a live one ready to go. So when you take that clip out, that one that's in the chamber is still in there. You gotta cock that joint again and get that out of there.
So they use live. Okay, I didn't know they use live guns. I thought those were props also.
They use live guns sometimes because they don't want to give off the impression of it being a fake joint. Because, you know, sometimes fake joints have markings on them that give it away that it's a fake one. So you can put a clip of blanks in a real gun and it'll fire off and still make the same sound. It's just blanks. Nothing's coming out of there. Yeah. It's just making a sound like, it's sound and it's cocking back like it's letting off real rounds. But that's what I'm saying. That person, whoever that is, obviously didn't have a firearm experience to know that I need to make sure this is a clip full of blanks that's going in and that there's not one in the chamber already.
Yeah.
So that's where they fucked up. Alec Baldwin, obviously, he don't know because they just handed him the gun. Yeah. Like y'all said, he thinking it's a prop gun. He's just letting it off, not realizing there's live rounds in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you shot a gun in a movie, it's like you just go right back in. It's the same thing. All right, I'm shooting another gun. So, like you said, he's just going in. All right, this is what I'm supposed to do as my character in the movie. Pow, pow, pow. But
that's how you shoot.
Let's say it again.
Pow, pow, pow.
Well, we want the Soulja Boy one.
Pow three times.
Yeah.
What was it? What was that good that nigga Tekashi said? If they come in here right now with that shit, when it was like, niggas was like, I ain't never heard that gun sound before. He said, I never heard that joke before.
Oh, no.
You had to really stop for a minute, like, hold on, that's a gun?
Like, where? You sure?
We heard that gun at Vietnam?
I just thought your transmission was backfired.
Yo,
AK 92.
Yeah, they said online, they said women ride around with their car on E and their gas light on.
And they had an oil change in 8 months.
Yeah.
you'd be like 3,000 miles over the oil change. Talk about we good. Nah, yo, no, we not.
I sent that to my little sister. She was like, that was me last week. I was like, come on, dog.
Gotta get your shit together.
Come on, dog. Like, listen, man.
You riding around crazy, yo.
Shout out to the ladies that's out here doing their motherfucking thing, man. Because they don't, listen, man. They said, listen, we're going to get that oil change. We need that oil change.
Yeah, your ass get stuck somewhere. You don't want to be there.
When that fucking engine light start blinking.
Hope you got AAA.
Yo, y'all ever ran out of gas before?
Nah, never.
I ran out of gas down the street from my school. I was literally down the street. We used to test the limits. This is back when gas was like $5. Somebody can give you $5 and that'll take you a long way. Like, this is a minute ago.
Anytime I get into somebody's car, I always take a peek over at the gas gauge.
We talking now.
Just to see. I've always done that.
When we was 21, 22, you was doing that?
Yeah, because I don't feel like, you know, we would be as responsible as our parents, so I just don't trust it. So in my mind, I'm just like, nah, let me just make sure. And then I start suggesting shit, like, yo.
So I used to let people drive my car. I'd be like, listen, ain't no gas in there, but you got to put some gas.
That's not enough to make it to the gas station.
My little Toyota Corolla I used to have back in the day, my little champagne color car. Yo, so my first car, I got in a car accident. This old lady pulled out and she sat in front of me. She was on an oxygen tank. I think I told y'all this story, no? Yeah, she was in the oxygen tank. I hit this old lady on the oxygen tank.
Wait, you said you hit an old lady?
I was about that. You hit her.
Yeah, I was in a car accident.
Whoa. Now you gotta elaborate now.
Yeah, bruh.
So you caught a manslaughter charge?
Nah. Nah, yo, so it was 4th of July weekend. I was home from school. I was leaving Gwinnett Place Mall. I was going to whatever my parents was at. I had like a 91 or 92 Toyota Corolla. I had my fucking automatic windows with the tape player and shit. If I went over 60 miles, my shit was shaking.
Yeah, you was in one of them rides.
Yeah, bro. Listen, them first cars was some bullshit. Nah,
you was in a hoopty for real.
Yo, but that shit got me from point A to point B though.
If it gets you there,
bro. My little automatic windows and shit.
How long did you have the car for?
I had it for a few years. I didn't take it with me to school, but it stayed at home. But it got in a car accident with me, though. So, it's my car. So, I ended up getting another car. Yeah, so the old lady, she pulled out in front of me. I hopped out the car and shit to be nice. You know the old lady talked shit to me? Like, you should have been.
Who's at
fault? It was her fault.
Oh, okay.
Because she pulled out and sat there. And I swerved. But if I didn't swerve, I might have had a manslaughter charge.
Well, she probably tried to crush you out because she thought you was going to hit her.
She did. I was too smart for that shit. I ain't catching no charge. Psych.
Oh, anyways. So, no, there was her car didn't have any damage.
She had damage, but she didn't die.
Okay.
Fuck you mean?
I'm just wondering because you said you swerved, so you still hit her.
She I know you ain't die. Hit her with it, but did you die?
She ain't die.
But did you die?
You all ain't right. die, though.
How bad did her car look?
Bro, it didn't matter. She ain't die. She was good. And her oxygen tank was good. I pulled her out the car. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me.
You strong, Mr. Fontaine.
Nah, she was like, Sunny. She called me Sunny or some bullshit. She was like a throwback Karen.
Oh, my goodness. So this is a white woman?
Yeah.
Oh, you lucky, bro. You might have not been home right now.
We had a conversation about code switching before, right?
Yeah.
You don't know how well I can eloquently I can speak.
And still though, bro. You hit a white woman in the south.
You see me?
Like that's just
you
crazy.
See me?
Right? It doesn't matter.
Yo, Eric, he ain't pay me no money.
It don't matter how eloquently you speak in the South.
I'm fucking with you. Yeah, I was in the South.
You hit a white woman?
Nah, I was good.
Thank God.
I'm blessed, bro.
Thank God.
I say this all the time. I'm blessed because there's been a lot of situations that could have been very, very bad for me. Very, very bad. And I have. We all probably have friends that have done way worse shit than we've done. You know what I'm saying? But just because of how we look, any potential place or whatever that we've been in, it could have been bad. So we're blessed, man. Yeah. We're blessed.
No, listen, I've definitely taken some chances in my tenure in the world. So I would definitely agree with that statement. And you know, thankfully and shit, because you know, as minorities. You know what I'm saying?
We're not going to say minorities because minorities means that we're disadvantaged. So if we're going to say minorities, we're going to say racial minorities, all right?
Okay. I mean, yeah. As black people.
There we go.
You know what I mean?
We can say what we are.
We don't, you know, it's a concern for us whether or not we'll make it home every night. You know what I'm saying? So just to make it home is a blessing in itself because, you know, we got to worry about everybody. You know what I'm saying? And other people ain't got to worry about about their own police officers, you know, killing them in the street. That's things that we got to worry about as black men. So that in itself, just to make it home safe is a blessing. You get to go home and hug your mom and kiss your kids. That's a blessing in itself as a black man.
I hear that Ross in the background. Ross don't make you want to be like, Russ don't make y'all want to talk shit. He don't make you just want to be extra fly.
Of course, you got come on, you got style on him. But you know when we that's
he don't make y'all pull y'all beards out.
I had my joint, you know what I'm saying, it was coming in, and then I was like, nah, you know I ain't gonna do
nah,
it.
Nah, but that's how.
Yo, Ed said I had my joint.
But that's how.
Yo, y'all remember? Y'all remember? I had my joint.
Yeah. I had the body, like, they'll say some shit like, shake your dreads. I'd be like, yeah, you know. Like, you know. I don't know. It made sense in that moment.
Yo, big shout out to Deals.
My man Deals in the building. You getting this blue champagne too, my man. Yo.
Deals in a motherfucking building.
Deals. Y'all don't understand how much family that comes through this building right here, Deals, man. For me? Listen, everybody's been here. They've been fortunate. Everybody's been part of what we've been doing. Everybody support everybody. My man Dills in the building. Get you a cup, man. So listen, what we talking about now? So listen, right now, fellas, if you could take a 6-month trip around the world, no, 9-month trip, excuse me, For $60,000, would you do it? All inclusive. The lighters are done. I don't know.
A trip around the world? Yeah, I'll do it.
So, for $60K for 9 months?
Yeah.
9 months?
Yeah.
You can commit to 9 months? Bro, after four or five days, you still want to be out? Well, you want to still want to be out away?
Well, we're traveling though. We're not staying in one place.
Right. I was about to say, here's the thing though. You gotta be a little more specific, because if you're traveling the world, you probably only staying in a particular place no more than 2 or 3 days.
Yeah,
so you're having new experiences. You know, you're having multiple new experiences every
week. You're trying to fuck in every country. That's what you're really trying to do too.
Nah, I'm saying we could do it.
Yeah, I want to fuck in every country.
You got to give the parameters. Are you talking about flying around the world, different locations?
Uh-huh.
You talking about being on a cruise ship for 9 months? What are we talking about? Because that's the key to this whole thing. How are you traveling around the world?
I mean, it's on a boat. It's a cruise. Like I said, it's 9 months, $60K, all inclusive.
Yeah, I'll do it. I ain't got no bills. The fuck? Why not? Like, I don't got to pay rent. You know what I'm saying? Like,
What you got there, Anthony? What you got there? I just seen something come out of the box there.
It's to go with the champagne. It's to go with the champagne.
Ooh, champagne.
I was drinking that blue champagne, so I just.
You being athletic right there.
You called in your plug. I see you called in your plug.
It go with the blue. Yeah, I did. I called in the plug on this one. I got something else coming through this weekend too.
Hey, what you got coming through?
Come on.
You selling the dictates out of the back of your car again?
You know what I'm saying? You put my business in the street.
Not the dictates.
The dictates.
Don't put my business out there. Okay, that's for me and the ladies I sell to.
You like Richard Nixon, the dictates. Deep throat tapes. Yeah, I've still been watching. I can't talk real quick. We drinking champagne right now. We a little inebriated. You get a little cotton mouth sometimes when you drinking you partaking of Mary Jane.
Yo, my cousin literally calls me every week while we're recording. And I tell him the same thing every week. Yeah, I'm recording. He always does it. Like,
you know why? Because he's waiting for you to just invite him over to be on the show. He's waiting. Like, he's calling like, yo, you still ain't invite me over.
Yo, we be vibing, bro. Do we not?
Nah, we do. That's a fact. Because it's family. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different when it's family. It's not motherfuckers you just was thrown together with. Before we got on the podcast, you know, we was already brothers. You know what I'm saying? So that's different type of thing. We done broke bread with each other's family. So that's different. So naturally, we're going to have a different type of chemistry on the show. And then, you know, when you throw in the fact that, you know, motherfuckers is really willing to be on their grind, even in the pandemic, it just make it that much better.
Rest in peace to Colin Powell as well. We forgot to mention that.
Facts.
I did 1,000 projects on him, too.
Sure.
I think everybody did, bro.
Yeah. I did 1,000 fucking projects. Like, what are the projects? I did Jackie Robinson.
Because, come on, also, you got Harry Saturn. Like, Colin Powell was a part of the select group of black people that, you know, that they
Roberto Clemente spoke
about in class. Yeah, you got Don Clemente up in there. It was a select. We had a good 10.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Malcolm X was up there, but you had to be careful with it because. And it was a little radical. They didn't want you to
depend on your teacher, right?
Yeah, depending on the teacher, you might not go too in depth with Malcolm X.
When I have kids, we can do all this crazy shit. You can do what's his name? H. Rap Brown. Do all the motherfuckers. You do whatever, and I'm gonna help you on your project.
They was not teaching about no that in the fucking
Afeni Shakur
school. No, they're not doing that. Maybe in the
Mr. Lilly, your kids can't have Afeni Shakur.
That might, we're not gonna do this. Certain people is not going to be, you know, still. Like, it's going to take a little while. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. But, again, rest in peace to Colin Powell. He was definitely, you know, that's how you know that you put in a lot of work and you affected a lot of people. Because to be one of those people that we don't, they wasn't talking about too many as, you know, much stuff as can be attributed to African-American people in this country as far as inventions and just different things. Like, there's a lot of people, you know, that weren't spoken about in schools that, you know, really you would not, just everything in your basic lives. Like, you know, we talk about the stop, you know, the stoplight and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But was y'all talking about Garrett L. Morgan and the in y'all elementary schools like that? He wasn't like one of the
nah.
It was Dr.
They
King.
They told you, yeah.
Harriet Tubman.
You was a slave.
You know what I'm saying? Colin Powell was one of them ones, but there was a lot of, you know, great black, you know, people in the history of this country that contributed to things that we use in our everyday lives that we couldn't function without. But we didn't speak about any of those people like that. You had to find those people out on your own, or let you know if your family taught you, or if you had a teacher, that would be on it like that with you. But it really wasn't spoken about like that.
I'm a going to a different place real quick before we get up out of here. So you know we follow Cast Facts, right? Mm-hmm. Every now and then I be kind of wanting to read some of the Cast Facts because the Cast Facts be kind of funny, you know?
Yeah.
Got real quiet. Anyways, said women.
Hold on. Where we was going with that?
Cast Facts. I was about to just read a cast fact.
I got
it. Just says women act like a whole different person once they get a whole frontal, especially on vacation. You wildin'. The vacation pics don't be hitting. The vacation pictures don't be bad. I feel like guys get caught up with the vacation pics with women, no? The vacation pictures are always 10 times better than your regular pictures.
Well, they half naked on vacation.
Yeah.
Usually. Yeah, so, that's a fact.
So a lot of guys, when they get to the vacation pictures, they're like, oh my God, it's like, bro, okay. She's on vacation. She's naked. No?
Yeah. You seeing her, the majority of her body. She done probably put in a little extra work, them 3 weeks prior.
Did you get in the close friends group? That's the next question.
If you were in the close friends group, then you get to see some things.
Hey.
But that's neither here nor there.
But yeah, yo, we out of here, man. Yo, shooting the motherfucking shit. Yo, we in the 140s. Soon come.
That's a fact. Soon
come. We're getting up there.
Yeah, man. We appreciate y'all. Keep fucking with us.
Truly love. Come on, check it out. Seems like yesterday we used to rock the show. I laced the track, you locked the flow. So far from hanging on the block for dough. Notorious, they got to know that. Life ain't always what it seemed to be. Words can't express what you mean to me. Even though you're gone, we still a team. Through your family, I'll fulfill your dreams. In the future, can't wait to see if you open up the gates for me. Reminisce sometime, the night they took my friend. Try to black it out, but it plays again. When it's real, feeling's hard to conceal. Can't imagine all the pain I feel. Give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your life after death.